My name is Tyler, one of the pastors here, and we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 14, as Jameson's mom just read, so you can begin turning there in your Bibles. Thank you for coming out on a snowy day. I know some of you had to like get out of like 4 to 6 inches out of your driveway. It's challenging. It's like an obstacle course getting here, sliding around, and so thank you so much. Hope God doubly blesses you this morning by being here, right? I've just been so overjoyed the past 2 weeks after we've sort of joined up, merged with Forward Church. Just been really enjoying the last 2 weeks. Yes. Just been a joy to sit and just listen to Pastor Jameson preach the word. He's such a powerful, dynamic preacher and just a lover of God. So I've just been ministered to through his preaching and just by being with you all. And just so excited for the future. Aren't you guys excited for the future? Man, Psalm 37 came to mind this week, which says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." I just feel like God has given me so many answered prayers and desires over the past couple weeks, and I'm just so excited to journey with you guys into the future. So thank you for just being a part of this awesome church. Now, we're going to be talking about Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church. We've been traveling through the letter as a church, and we get to 12, 13, 14. Those chapters are on spiritual gifts, specifically charismatic gifts, like prophecy, the gift of tongues, healing, and that sort of thing. And Paul writes, the subtitle for this message is God's Message to Messy Christians, right? Because their church was in Corinth was a little messy. Our church is a little messy, right? We're not perfect, and so we need being coached up. We need instructions. And so Paul is writing to the Corinthian church to coach them up because practicing charismatic gifts can be a little messy, right? And so they needed some instructions from Paul, and we too need instructions from Paul in order to do this in a very healthy, godly, God-honoring way. All right, so that's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, 1 Corinthians 14 is all about two gifts in particular, the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. And because they are so misunderstood and so abused in the church broadly, we thought we'd take 2 Sundays to talk about them. So today I'll be talking about prophecy, and then we're going to get Pastor Doug Stevens from City Light Council Bluffs to come in and to talk about the gift of tongues in a couple weeks on March 3rd. So I'm really excited about that because he has a lot of experience in that area. And we just love to get other pastors in from other churches to come speak into our churches from time to time. So it's always a blessing. And it's going to be a blessing to have another City Light family pastor come in a couple weeks. So look forward to that. Now, I know this topic can put some people off. It can be very a hard topic to discuss and think about. And here's the way that I see it. Right, just as it's hard for an American to go over to the Middle East or China or Africa, so it is hard to enter into the world of the Bible sometimes. Right, because when you go into a different culture, you go over to China, there's just going to be parts of the culture that seem very odd and very foreign. And our temptation is to judge those things in other cultures. Right, and so just as it's wrong for an American to go over to another culture, and judge other cultures, so it is wrong for us to enter into the world of the Bible and begin critiquing the Bible through our Western sort of American lens. And so when we come up to a topic like charismatic gifts, which is still quite foreign and unfamiliar to many of us in the room, I just want to encourage you to kind of take off the cultural glasses, maybe take off the lens of the cultural background or church background that you came from, and try to put on the scriptural lens, right, to see the Bible in a new light. So I just want to encourage you to be good listeners this morning, to be humble listeners to the Word of God. And I think you guys have done a great job so far. Right? As we've been preaching through this in my city group discussions and my one-on-one conversations with you and my emails back and forth to some of you answering some questions, and you guys have been so respectful, so God-honoring. You come from all kinds of different backgrounds, church backgrounds when it comes to spiritual gifts, and yet you guys have been tremendous. You've been intrigued. You've been really excited to learn about this. And so I just want to say well done, church. You guys have done an amazing, phenomenal job. Yeah. So just proud to be doing this with you. So today, like I said, I'm going to talk about prophecy, and I got 3 points. So I'm going to talk about the purpose of prophecy, the pitfalls of prophecy, and the practice of prophecy. Right? Gave you all P's there this morning, all right? No brownie points? Okay, all right. So, just any Baptists in the room, right? So, the purpose of prophecy. Let's talk about that first. So, Acts chapter 2 is kind of the foundation for the gift of prophecy. All right, so what's going on in Acts chapter 2 is Pentecost. So people are speaking in tongues. There's other people that are looking in on this and being like, that's super weird. What's going on? And Peter's like, no, this actually is normal. Let me tell you why. Because the prophet Joel, a long time ago, prophesied that this kind of thing would be happening in our day, right? The prophet Joel said this, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So Peter is like, hey, this is normal, guys. Like the prophet Joel said, in the latter days, which is right now, that people will be prophesying, getting visions, getting dreams, speaking in tongues. Like, this kind of thing is expected, right? So we should be expecting this. And here's the great news, is that no longer is God primarily working through priests or high priests. He's going to be pouring out his spirit on all flesh. All of us are going to be indwelt with a powerful Holy Spirit. And all of us together, corporately, will be able to dream dreams and hear visions from the Lord and be prophesying to one another. Right, male and female, young and old, all of us together will be able to experience these things. Right, that's good news. And so then the Apostle Paul takes this foundational teaching of Peter's and then builds off of it, instructs all the local churches on how to use these gifts correctly and in a God-honoring way. So we get to 1 Corinthians 14, and so Paul begins to teach and coach his church up on what this looks like. So in verse 1 of chapter 14, Paul says, pursue love, right, which is what Jameson preached on all of last week. Without love, this all falls flat, right? And earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. In verse 39, near the end of the chapter, he says, so, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. So again, this is the Apostle Paul. This is not some random obscure figure in church history. This is the Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament. Right, so when we listen to him, we should listen with a sense of seriousness and reverence and awe, right? He's saying, hey, he doesn't say be neutral about the gifts, like this is optional, but he says, no, pursue, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you would prophesy. Right? He is really urging his church to pursue this. And when it comes to even something like speaking in tongues, which we'll talk about in a couple weeks. Right, that's very weird to many of us. He says, don't forbid it, because it's a gift from God. So when Paul says that, we should take notice. Right, you might have heard someone say, especially if you've come up from a cessationist background that believe that the charismatic gifts have ceased, you might have heard somebody say, you know, I'm just not into the charismatic gifts. I'm just a Bible-believing Christian. I'm just a Bible person. I'm not really a charismatic, you know, weirdo over here. And what I want to show you this morning is, to be a Bible person is to be charismatic, right? That's what Paul is saying here, right? He's saying, hey, earnestly desire, do not forbid. And so to be charismatic is to be a Bible person, not the other way around, right? Because we believe in the authority and sufficiency of the scriptures, because we want to obey the scriptures, when we come to 1 Corinthians 14, we're like, oh, this is a command from Paul. I better do this, right? For my flourishing and for the flourishing of the church. So, what exactly is prophecy? Sam Storms gives a really helpful, simple, succinct definition by saying, prophecy is the human report of a divine revelation. So prophecy is the human report that you give to somebody, a group of people, or maybe the church at large, of a divine relation, something that God has revealed to you that you previously didn't know. Right? It's us giving these kinds of words. Now, why would God give these reports to us, these revelations to us, to report on, to tell other people? Well, that's the aim of much of my talk this morning, is to show the purpose behind prophecy. And so Paul starts in verse 2 by explaining what the purpose is. So verse 2, chapter 14, he says, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more so to prophesy. So again, he's not against speaking in tongues, he's actually for it. He's like, I want you all to speak in tongues, but I want you even more so to prophesy. So this is a church that was not bashful when it came to spiritual gifts. They were charismatics. They were using the spiritual gifts, practicing the spiritual gifts, and they were going a little overboard when it came to the gift of tongues. And it was freaking some people out. All right, so Paul's trying to rein them in and say, yeah, hey, the gift of tongues is good, but it's primarily a private prayer language with God. But prophecy is really, really helpful, guys. You should be really pursuing prophecy because it has corporate benefits, benefits to the whole body. It builds the church and strengthens the church, okay? So practice tongues, right? But really pursue prophecy when it comes to the corporate gatherings, the scattered church, right? Because there's lots of benefits. And he says the main sort of benefit over all of this is the upbuilding of the church, right? So what I want to do here is to sort of break that down, that umbrella of just prophecy is building up the church, into four sort of smaller categories. So the first purpose under that umbrella of prophecy, I would say, is encouragement, just general encouragement, right? Who doesn't need encouragement, right? This past week at staff prayer, we took some time. Jameson, Pastor Jay, was leading prayer, staff prayer, and he said, let's just take some time to pause and pray that God would give us some encouraging words to give to one another. And so we spent time praying and pausing, and then coming out of that, Pastor Jay looked at Sadie, who's one of our worship interns, amazing, godly young woman, and just said, I sense that the Lord was telling me to tell you that God is not done with you yet. And Sadie told me later, because we all saw this going down, and Sadie just started crying, and we're like, whoa, something triggered something there. I don't know what it is, but she was crying. She was crying tears of joy and courage. And she said later that, man, you know, she's just in a place where all of us have been, where we sort of doubt our calling. We doubt our gifting and competency and what we're doing. Like, all of us have been there. And she was just in that, having one of those weeks. And she's like, man, there's all these new musicians around here, and they're all older than me, and I just feel young. And so just she's just struggling. And so when Jameson looked across, didn't know what was going on in her heart, said, God is not done with you yet. She just was super encouraged. The Lord was saying, I'm near you, and I'm going to use you, and stay in it, right? You have value and worth here, right? So she was tremendously encouraged by that. Now, when I lived in Manhattan, Kansas, about 6 years ago, before I came to Omaha to become a pastor, I found myself as a non-charismatic guy in a charismatic church for the very first time. So some of this stuff really freaked me out. And I was at my in the home of my pastor at the time, Josh Siders. And he said, hey, let's just pause and pray for some encouraging words to give one another. I felt a very, you know, kind of weird, and until he gave me a word. And this is what always happens, is you're really skeptical of prophetic words until somebody actually gives you one, and you're like super encouraged. You're like, oh, okay, maybe I need to reevaluate this. So he shared this word with me 6 years ago, and just said, Tyler, I feel like I saw like just a picture of a plant and a seed under the ground, and the seed had begun growing, so it was had life to it. It was growing, but it hadn't come above the surface yet. And he said, I felt like God is saying that there's still so much more potential in you that hasn't been visible, that hasn't been seen yet. And so grab onto that and really expect the Lord for great things in this next season of ministry. Well, turns out that right after that, I got the call from Gavin to leave my campus ministry director role there at K-State and to come here and to be a pastor for the first time. And that's how I got to this place. And so, I mean, I still vividly remember that word that was given 6 years ago. I mean, how many of us don't remember what we talked about in City Group last week? Or like 3 months ago or 6 months ago? It's like, oh, I can't remember what we talked about. But God is so good to give us images that stick with us and continue to pay dividends, continue to encourage us months later, years later. It's incredible. He does that all throughout the scriptures, and particularly in the book of Revelation, when there's this persecuted church, and he's given images left and right in the book of Revelation that stick with them, that continue to encourage them in a time of trial and persecution. Right, so God, remember, that English is not God's primary language. Right? In the Bible, he speaks through multiple languages, images, he communicates in all kinds of means, all right? Very encouraging. Second purpose of prophecy would be ministry direction, right? The Bible tells us how to live godly lives, but oftentimes we are desperate for direction. What do I do next? What do I do with my career? What about kids? Like, God, guide me, direct me. And God will use the gift of prophecy to guide us like a sail. In Acts chapter 8, a deacon named Philip had a vision, and he was told by God through an angel to go to the south road. So imagine you're having your quiet time in your home, you're reading your Bible, and God says, go to Center Street, you know, or go to I-80, or, you know, like, that would be, you know, you'd have to really have faith to believe that that's what God wants you to do. But that's what Philip did here. So he went to the south road, and he intercepted the Ethiopian eunuch that was coming back. And he was really pursuing God. He was reading the book of Isaiah, and he's like, what does this mean? And Philip says, let me point you to Jesus in that passage. And he became a believer. He said, what prevents me from being baptized? And he went and got baptized. So it's this amazing story of God dropping something on him that he didn't know, and it guided him in ministry, and somebody actually became a believer as a result. It's one of those amazing stories of how the gift of prophecy isn't contrary to the word of God, but supports the ministry of the word and accelerates it. A month ago, I shared this story, but I thought I'd share it again because it's pretty powerful, about Pastor John Piper in Minneapolis. Many of us know Pastor John Piper, just a really key figure in evangelicalism and great teacher. And one time in a sermon, unscripted, he just sort of shouted out an illustration that he didn't know was actually going to hit somebody pretty hard. He was trying to encourage his congregation to start Bible studies, small groups, to accelerate the scattered church. And he just threw this off the top of his head. He said, hey, say you might be working on the 34th floor of the IDS tower, and maybe you should call your people together to have a small group meeting, right? Just wherever you're at, ask God to start a small group. Well, a woman came up to him afterwards, after the sermon, and said, why did you say that, Pastor John? And she said, I work on the 34th floor of the IDS tower, and I've been praying to God, asking him if now is the time to start a Bible study. Right? Incredible story of God speaking through John Piper, this gift of prophecy, to her to give her faith, to give her courage to go and initiate a new work of God in that building. So ministry direction is a reason, a purpose of prophecy. Thirdly, another purpose of prophecy is to win unbelievers, right? Win in a very seemingly counterproductive way, right? It actually, the Bible says that we actually, the gift of prophecy can convict the hearts of unbelievers and lead them to Christ. Right? This is what he says in verse 24 of chapter 14. He says, but if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all, and the secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. All right, so there's an example of this from Charles Spurgeon from the 1800s, one of the most well-known preachers of that century. And he was talking about a shoemaker, just giving a general illustration in one of his sermons, and it hit home for one person in the audience. And that person later gave testimony and said this. He said, I went to the music hall, that's where Charles Spurgeon was preaching, and took my seat in the middle of that place, and Mr. Spurgeon looked at me as if he knew me, and in his sermon he pointed to me and told the congregation that I was a shoemaker and that I kept my shop open on Sundays, which was a big no-no back then. Then it struck me that it was God who had spoken to my soul through him, so I shut up my shop the next Sunday, because he was kind of gaining profit off of having his shop open when nobody else's was open. And so he said, at first, I was afraid to go and hear him again, lest he should tell the people more about me. But afterwards, I went, and the Lord met with me and saved my soul. Isn't that a good testimony? Man, you think that'd be counterproductive of like getting your heart convicted, but no, it led him to the Lord. And the same thing happened in John chapter 4, right? Remember when Jesus met with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman? And so he met with her, and then he told her something that she knew that nobody would know. And he said, hey, you have a boyfriend problem, right? You've had many boyfriends, and the guy living in your house right now is not your husband. It just blew her away. And you think that that would be counterproductive, but that actually drew her to the Lord. She's like, man, this must be the Lord speaking through you. And he was the Lord, actually. But it's the story says she went into town and says, hey, come see this man who has told me everything that I've ever done. And so that spurred her to worship him, to follow him, and actually go evangelize for him. So that prophetic word then really accelerated the ministry of the word, right? It won an unbeliever and other unbelievers to Christ. Another purpose of prophecy is comfort. And God really, really is into comforting his children, you know? And prophecy is a means by which he does that. Right? I just shared the story about Jameson and Sadie at our staff prayer meeting, and something else happened to that meeting. As I was sort of pausing to pray, this has never happened to me before, but I sort of saw a figure and saw like a blue arm and a blue hand, and thought maybe the Lord's like signifying that somebody, you know, needs prayer for that area of their body. Again, I've never shared anything like that. This has never happened to me. And it's always really hard to like bring that up in a group, you know, or your city group. It's always hard. It can be awkward. And that's one of the principles behind the gift of prophecy is if you're a person that likes to be right all the time, like the gift of prophecy is going to be very challenging for you. Like if you're somebody who really cares about your reputation and how you look, the gift of prophecy is going to be really hard to carry out. But if you do, if you take risks, man, people get blessed, right? And so I went through the awkward phase of, I don't know if I should share this. Okay, I'm just going to share it and say, hey, does anybody have anything, you know, right arm, right hand hurting them? And Steph Warden, like, raised her hand and just said, my thumb has been really bothering me. I'm actually talking to the doctor today about whether or not I need surgery on my hand. And Stephanie is we call her Mama Steph, right? She's our mama. She takes care of us. We love her. And she sits all day at the computer typing away with that right thumb on financial reports and all these other things that bless us as a church. And so it was such a beautiful opportunity to see that God loves Steph so much, right? To use this gift of prophecy for us to come around here, lay hands on her, and just pray over her, pray for healing of her thumb and her body. Because God cares about our bodies. Right, we're not Gnostics that believe like the spirit's good and like body bad. Right, we believe just like a mama and her 1-year-old who has a fever, who's like trying to get her baby to feel better and to pray over that baby. Man, God cares about our bodies in the same way. So we want to be praying for healing all the time. And so it's just cool to see God bless Stephanie in that way through the gift of prophecy. Right, He wants to comfort us and wants to heal us. Right, so. I know that at this point, there's still some of you guys who are still leery of prophecy because it's been abused in so many different ways, and so I totally get that. And so I wanted to talk about some of the pitfalls of prophecy and how we can do it very, very poorly, right? But the first pitfall is to throw the baby out with the bathwater in the first place, right? Just to despise prophecy, to want to reject prophecy, right? That in and itself is a pitfall. Right, but here's what Paul says, right? If someone shares a word with you and your first instinct is, yeah, right, I just really have a hard time believing you right now, like believing that you're not doing this for attention, just to be on stage, to play the God card, to not manipulate. You know, in those moments, right, where that's your gut response when somebody's like, I have a word from the Lord, you know? This is what you need to remind yourself of Paul saying in 1 Thessalonians 5, right? Paul says, verse 19 through 21, and in a section in that passage, he says, do not quench the spirit, right? Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. So listen, really hear that, guys. He says, do not quench the spirit. How? By despising prophecies. So when a friend comes up to you and says, hey, I think the Lord has an encouraging word for you and wants you to hear this, right? Don't say, yeah, right. Don't belittle it. Don't belittle them. Don't despise them and what they're saying, because in doing so, you could be despising or belittling the work of the Holy Spirit coming straight towards you to encourage you, all right? So don't watch out that we don't belittle the Holy Spirit in those moments, right? The Spirit's using that as a gift. So what Paul says is receive and test it. The first thing you can do is to have humility by saying, okay, please share, all right? I want to listen to you because this could be from the Lord. And then to put the discernment glasses on to actually test it, right? Are they a mature believer, right? Is what they're saying in accordance with the scriptures, right? To test it, right? That's what Paul is calling us to do. But you're called by God not to receive every word that anyone says as infallible, right? Because we are fallible creatures. Right? We are prone to error. And so we need to test everything that the Lord says, right? So we're not called to be naive. We're not called to be gullible. We're called to be humbly receive and then discerningly test, right? And I just want to, again, to the people who in the room who are, who say that they're open in terms of the charismatic gifts but cautious, I just want to remind you guys that that the charismatic gifts are gifts, right? They're charismas. The charisma in Greek means gift of grace. And so the spiritual gifts, in particular also the charismatic gifts, tongues, prophecy, healing, right, are gifts of grace that God as a gift giver has given to the church for the upbuilding of the church, for the encouragement of the church, right, for the consolation and comfort of the church who are in the thick of ministry. Right, the gift of prophecy is God's gift to us. So let's not belittle it. Let's not think we'd be safer without it. Like, I want to be a church that just doesn't go in that direction because it can get crazy, but to actually embrace it as a gift of grace from the Lord, to embrace it, but then use it wisely and discern and test, okay? So just want to encourage you to realize that these gifts, behind these gifts is a loving Father that wants us to experience his care, his comfort, his direction, and his love, right? So let's really receive this as a gift from him. The third pitfall is, I would say, don't be lazy, right? Laziness could be a response to some people who are really into charismatic gifts, right? You can be someone who then doesn't read your Bible, that doesn't, like, study the Bible, memorize the Bible, doesn't pray, and every morning you're like, you know, should I go to work today, Lord? Give me a word. It's like, read your Bible, right? Don't be lazy, right? Don't be lazy, right? God didn't give prophecy to bless lazy Christians, but to encourage faithful ones, right? He didn't give prophecy to bless lazy Christians, but to encourage faithful ones, right? And that's why I said oftentimes why I feel like the charismatic gifts and dreams and visions and things like that, oftentimes they're more operative and it seems like more normative in places where there's the gospel is pushing up against darkness, where people are on the front lines and God's doing everything possible to encourage, comfort, and upbuild those kinds of faithful believers. Right, that's what the book of Revelation is God giving dreams and visions to the persecuted church. All right, so don't be lazy, right? Read your Bible. Thirdly, don't be hasty. Don't be quick to give words to people, right? Really pray and discern through the things that you feel like you want to share with another fellow believer or the church at large, right? Because you can really, really hurt people and manipulate people in this way. I was just talking with a sister in Christ, like after this first service, and she was saying, man, I came from a very charismatic church, and somebody told me something that still I'm trying to get over, right? Because it's so hurtful. So you could really, really hurt people rather than help people in these gifts. So there's a few different areas that we would say, hey, like there might be a few exceptions, but on average, let's not like share words within these areas of life, okay? The first area would be giving people words about who you should date or marry, right? If I had been a charismatic when I met Lindsay, I totally would have used this. I would have been like, Lindsay, I got a word from the Lord. We're supposed to marry. In fact, I kind of almost tried that. We went on a break for a week, and then came back, and I said, Lord, Lindsay, I've fasted and I prayed, and I just really sense the Lord is calling us to stay together. Like, did you get that too? And she's like, no. luckily, it worked out. We're still together. but man, you can see how. I mean, people have used that God card. God told me to marry you, you know. Don't do that. Another area is sharing dreams or prophecies about having babies, all right? And if you've done that already, hey, much grace to you. Like, someone was apologizing for something they shared with me about a year or two ago, and I'm like, oh, lots of grace. Like, no problem. But babies can be, again, a very hurtful thing. Like if you prophesy, like, I believe you're going to have, like, you know, a boy or a girl, and then it ends up being the opposite, and people's feelings get hurt, or you go up to a couple that's struggling with infertility, and me and Lindsay, that's been our story, like, struggling with infertility, and people prophesying that we're going to have babies soon, and things like that, like, that could just be very hurtful and damaging, all right? So be So refrain from doing that, all right? And then the third area is healing, right? Assuring people that God wants to heal them. Like, or God, with 100% certainty that God will heal them, right? We should have a posture always that God wants to heal and pray for healing because, again, he cares for our bodies. We see that in Jesus' ministry. I mean, he's healing people left and right as the kingdom is coming. But there are specific circumstances in Scripture where godly people like Job and Paul, like right, the thorn in the side, like they aren't healed. And so to go up to somebody and say, I just really feel like God wants to heal you, especially if they have a disease or cancer, it can be utterly, utterly emotionally damaging. And so we want to refrain from giving people words, certainty of healing words. Right? And again, there may be some exceptions. It kind of depends on your maturity, how long you've had experience in this area. If you've taken it to spiritual leaders and process it in community before sharing the word, there's a lot of factors there. But on average, let's not hurt people with prophecy in these areas. All right, and lastly, the last pitfall is to not prophesy on issues of morality. Right, to not prophesy or give words on issues of morality. Right, so don't run around saying, hey, I got a word from you. I don't think you should watch, I think the Lord is prohibiting you from watching Netflix this year. You know, like, what? That's weird. You get up here on stage, thus saith the Lordeth, you know, we musteth boycott the breweries in Benson in 2019. You know, like, that would be very strange. And people can use that as a form of manipulation, right? Like, I don't want my kids, you know, to do this, you know, so thus saith the Lord, you know, like, and it gets kind of weird, you know, especially when you use it to control people's outward behaviors, right? And I want to say that prophecy is not for that purpose, right? Prophecy is not for that purpose. We believe here, because we want to be Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church here, we believe in the authoritative, inerrant word of God that does not teach anything contrary to truth. And we believe that the sufficiency of scriptures means that we have everything in the scriptures for to be saved, right? To trust God in every area of your life and to obey God perfectly, right? To obey God. So that's what we have the scriptures for. It's God's revelation to us to live a godly life. And so we believe that God has not given us a prophecy to add doctrine, but rather add encouragement to the church. All right, so let me say that again. The gift of prophecy is not for adding doctrine, but adding encouragement to the local church, all right? And so we don't have to use prophecy as a manipulation tool to get people to do what we want, right? It's not like God wrote the Bible for us and then somehow forgot some things, and so he's using prophecy to like add some extra moral rules that he forgot to add before. Well, that's not what prophecy is for. It's for encouragement, for building up, all right? So those are some of the pitfalls of prophecy used wrongly. And I wish I could share more. Jameson's like, man, you cut a lot out of your sermon. I had to cut like a quarter to make time, but I told him I'll write a blog or something about it. But the things I forgot. But that's a helpful start to get us going in the right direction. So then just 2 minutes here on how to share a prophetic word. Right? How do we practice prophecy? So if you feel like you got a word for someone and you want to know how to go about sharing it, I would say, first off, don't use the phrase, thus saith the Lord. Right? That's Old Testament prophecy. So don't go up to somebody and say, thus saith the Lord, right? Because then Paul wouldn't have said, hey, test everything, right? He says, test everything. He wouldn't have had to say that if we were prone to error sometimes, right? So never say, thus saith the Lord, I know for sure God has said this and you need to follow it, right? We don't walk around like Old Testament prophets, right? We need to have humility, right? We are fallible, right? We are fallible and are prone to error. And so we need to have humility, right? And so prophetic humility looks like this, right? Coming up to somebody and saying, hey, I have a word or phrase for you that might be from the Lord. Can I share it? Right? Or I have a picture in my mind that I think may be for someone here. Let me just share it and we'll see. Right? Or I had a dream that may be from the Lord about you, and I would like to share it. Can I have your permission to share it? Right? Talking like that really puts people at ease and allows them not to feel like bad Christians if they don't just buy into your word right away. It allows them to be at ease and not feel bad, right? If you're like, this is from the Lord, why aren't you like getting into this word, you know? But you could say, no, I'm going to pray on it. I'm going to test it. Like, I'm going to yeah, I'm gonna take that to the Lord, and I'm gonna see what he does, right? So have humility. Another aspect of humility is not jumping to conclusions too quickly, jumping to applications too quickly if you feel like you have a word for somebody else, right? So this is the same for teaching. This is the same for preaching. So every week, as Jameson, Alex, or I get up here to preach, we have to look at God's revealed word, which is not full of errors. It doesn't teach anything contrary to error. It's his revelation to us. We take it. We have to seek to interpret what it means. We use lots of commentaries, and we do the best we can. And then we apply it on Sunday morning, which is what I'm doing right now. And Paul says, hey, go home and search the scriptures to see if what Tyler, Alex, or Jameson, if what they're saying is true. Like, don't just be naive and gullible, but go home and search the scriptures and see if it's true. The same is the true for prophecy. When we get a word, we have to realize that if it's from the Lord, it's going to be without error, but we can misinterpret it, we can misapply it, and therefore do some damage if we do it wrongly. All right? So, like I said before, to use Jameson's story as an example, he heard the phrase, God's not done with you. And so he just shared that with Sadie and said, does that mean anything? And that's a very humble way of going about it. Like, here's the raw data. Does it mean anything to you? And oftentimes God will mean something right away, right? If Jameson could have said, okay, God's not done with you yet. I mean, she's young. She's still in school. Okay, maybe it means that, like, she needs to, like, go back and get more schooling. Because he's not done with her yet. So go back and get some more schooling, right? So you can see how you can get weird and it's like misapplying these things. And so you just need to be very, very careful not to jump to conclusions, jump to applications, but kind of share with people and have a dialogue about it. Like, hey, this is the word I heard. This is the scripture passage. Like, does that mean anything to you? And sort of have a dialogue about it. And if nothing rings a bell, then you can say, okay, here's what it could mean, right? So take it or leave it. Right? That's what it means to do this in humility, right? So let's be a church committed, please, to doing this in love, pursuing this humbly, right? Because it's a gift that can help people, but it's a gift that also can hurt people, right? So let's continue to exercise this in humility. And so this is the last point I want to make, and just by way of conclusion, right? It's a good reminder for us, especially as we continue to talk about charismatic gifts. This past week, I got to sit down with our new and talented worship intern, Ryan Nordstrom. He's the other hipster-looking guy in our church. So now we have two hipsters, Porter and him. Colin, sorry. Where's Colin? Is he in here? Colin's he's our third hipster. I called him a half hipster once, and he got kind of frustrated with me. So, okay, we have three hipsters. And he's just very, very talented, great guy, and he's in love, okay? So I sat down with him and Courtney, his fiance, this past week to start doing premarital counseling. And they're just, again, in the lovey-dovey stage. Courtney on Facebook this past week said that, quote, he is a heartthrob, right? He's a heartthrob. Her words, not mine, okay? It's a heartthrob. So, you know, they're just in love. But the problem is that they're like more than 1,000 miles apart, right? So she's out of state right now. And so they're planning this wedding while they're 1,000 miles apart from each other. So it's very challenging. But I asked Ryan, well, how are you communicating? He said, well, FaceTime. And so FaceTime's a great tool, a great gift for them because FaceTime allows them to talk to each other, to see each other, to do wedding planning together, to continue to cultivate intimacy and just grow as friends. And I want to ask, like, would it be weird if Ryan started sharing with us about how much she loves FaceTime rather than how much she loves Courtney? Like, it'd be a little weird, wouldn't it? Like, if you were to start talking and saying, you know what, technology is so amazing nowadays. Like, I can see Courtney, and, like, there's upgrades coming, and it's going to get even better and faster. And then just, like, just all consumed with FaceTime. And that would be very, very strange. And that's yet what some of us can do with the gift of prophecy and the charismatic gifts, is we can get so into these charismatic gifts that it becomes more about the gift rather than the gift giver. Right? We can go on and sort of exalt these gifts rather than just seeing the gift giver behind these gifts. Right? And so Ryan and Courtney are excited. They're in love. And they're just so excited to not use FaceTime, but to actually see each other face to face when they stand up here and commit their vows together and live together forever. And the same is true for us and God. Right? Because in 1 Corinthians 13, in the chapter before, Paul says that prophecy is going to be done away with. Like, all of the spiritual gifts are going to be done away with someday because they're a temporary means by which we experience God's love and comfort in this age right now. But Paul says when the perfect comes and we see him face to face, we won't be seeing through a mirror dimly anymore, right? But we're going to be seeing him clearly. Not only we're not going to be just experiencing his love and comfort through the body of Christ, through encouraging words, but we're going to actually hear Jesus' words face to face. And so this gift is never about the gift itself, right? The gift is pointing to the day that just like Ryan and Courtney are going to be standing each other and get married together and be with each other, prophecy points us to the day when the perfect will come and Jesus will be with us face to face. Right? That's what the gifts are for, right? And so let's get excited to know that, man, prophecy is a great tool. It's a great gift by which we can encourage one another in the Lord. But man, Jesus is coming back for us soon. He's coming back for his bride, and we will get to experience his love directly, face to face.